Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Focus of our message this morning is on those first few verses from our gospel lesson today. But even though it is Eastertide, I want to talk Christmas for a little bit. I know, it's a little odd. Keep in mind that a bunch of people did get a lot of snow yesterday. You might be familiar with a kind of, it's a poem turned carol by Henry Longfellow. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. In my mind, I can hear some crooner singing it. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. I'm not sure who that was. Mel Torme, Harry Belafonte, Bing Crosby, I don't know. Probably nowhere near any of them, but you get the point. We're kind of familiar with that, those opening words, but there's a lot more to that poem than I think a lot of us realize. In that poem, Wadsworth laments that the hope of peace that was announced by the angels, peace on earth, goodwill, that was lost. Nowhere to be found. Here's what he writes. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I think it's easy for us to doubt those words too, huh? Peace on earth. I mean, it doesn't take much. All you have to do is look at the news. Burnings, bombings, shootings, hostages, chants of hatred. And most of that is just here in the U.S., where we're in a fairly safe, probably one of the safest nations on earth, much less what's going on in other places in the world, like Sri Lanka. You get the idea that maybe those angels didn't know what they were singing about. Peace on earth. But our gospel lesson for today doesn't leave us clinging to unfulfilled ideas. In the face of doubts that creep into your heart and mine, the gospel assures us that that peace that was announced by the angels on that first Christmas Eve was won by Jesus some 30 plus years later on a mount called Calvary. And in our lesson for today from the gospel account, we have in a most reassuring way that on that first Easter evening, we hear words from Jesus assuring us that that promise has been fulfilled. And so this morning, I ask you to please join me to put aside our doubts and to concentrate in confidence of true peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Peace. It's a word that certainly gets thrown about. Some people still use it as a greeting. I don't know if they necessarily do the peace sign so much anymore, but every once in a while you'll hear somebody say, "Hey, peace, brother." We tend to sort of flippantly toss it out there, but it's certainly something that the disciples didn't have. I mean, think about their situation. I mean, they had things like doubt and fear and guilt. I think because of so much that was going on during Holy Week, we forget that on that first Easter evening, that first Sunday night, as the disciples were gathered there in that room, it was just 4 days prior that a mob and soldiers had come to confront them in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you know what happened? All of them took off with the exception of two, and of the two, one of them, just a few hours later, would deny that he even knew Jesus. So they had a lot of issues going on. The other one, John, went to the high priest's home because he was known there, and he alone of the 12 had the courage to join the women on Mount Calvary to witness Jesus' crucifixion. The Jews had come for their Jesus. How long would it be before they were going to come for those disciples? And so there they were gathered on that first Easter evening, with the exception of Thomas. Fear, doubt, anxiety, guilt for what they had done and failed to do, when something absolutely amazing happened. Our text says, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. Suddenly the man that they had abandoned, the man that they had left to be crucified, the man that they had deeply hurt and wronged, was standing among them. He simply appeared right in the middle of their group. And as our Savior stood there in front of the disciples, he opened his mouth and spoke to them words of accusation and No, he didn't. He didn't accuse them of anything. He stepped into their midst, appeared among them, and said, "Peace be with you." I don't know if he could have uttered any more beautiful words than those. To the sorrowful, guilt-ridden, doubting, hurting disciples, he spoke words of absolution and assurance. There's no talk of their abandonment. He doesn't mention their all too apparent need to save their own skins. No, he rather offers them the olive branch of the gospel. He offers them peace. But you know, that wasn't enough for those disciples. Have you ever really hurt somebody? We talked about this in Bible class earlier today as we continue looking at the prodigal son. Have you ever really hurt somebody? I mean, badly. And you apologize from your heart. And their response is, "That's okay." How do you go away from that? "Oh, thank you. I'm so relieved you've forgiven me." Or do you kind of go, "Well, it didn't exactly forgive me. I kind of wonder when they're going to bring this up again." You don't have the same confidence, do you? You kind of have those doubts that creep in, like eventually somewhere along the line, they're going to bring it up again at just the right moment when it's going to hurt the deepest and it's going to get to you the most and completely undermine anything that you're trying to do. Just waiting. You just know it. You notice that Jesus doesn't do that with the disciples. He doesn't just throw out some words, "Peace be with you." There's more to it than that. And those words of peace, you know, they're not just for the disciples then, they're for disciples today. We know how we've wronged Jesus. I mean, how many times haven't we abandoned and ignored Christ in our lives for the sake of chasing after our own desires and wants? How many times haven't we failed to confess Christ in order to save face in front of pressure from friends and fellow students and coworkers? I mean, are you at peace with your actions in your life, with the feelings that well up in your heart? Jesus says you should be, but sometimes that's not enough, is it? The words. Just those words, are they enough to calm our troubled consciences? Too often we doubt that Jesus could forgive a sinner such as me. But he clearly says, "Be at peace." Oh, come on, it can't be that easy. There's no way. That's way too simple. And you wait for something to happen, right? If Jesus steps in front of those disciples and he simply says, "Peace be with you," that's great, but we never really talked about the elephant in the room, all the wrongs that were committed. Those are words, and we appreciate them, but do they really, is that enough? Now, you know that from the Lord, the words are enough. His power to do anything he wants, but he knows our weaknesses, he knows our fears, he knows our doubts, and you see it right here. It would be too simple. The disciples needed more than just the words, and so he gives us more, even in the face of our doubts and weaknesses. He went so much further than simply saying to the disciples, "Ah, don't worry about it." He goes so much further for you and me than just saying, "Ah, don't worry about it. I got it." And while that should be enough, he speaks to the very depths of our souls and hearts and minds to make sure that there is no doubt. He speaks to us of peace even in the face of doubt, because look at what he does. He says, "Peace be with you." Literally, be at peace. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. You know why that's so important. Because you know that words are one thing to a human being, but in our weaknesses and fears, we know that action speaks louder than words. And so to assure those disciples, even in the face of doubt, he shows them the deep nail marks in his hands, and he opens up his tunic, kind of like the robe I'm wearing, and he shows them the gash in his side caused by the Roman spear. He shows them with actions and truth that there was peace between him and his disciples, peace between we as disciples and God our Heavenly Father, because everything was taken care of. The peace that he came to bring, that promise of peace on earth, was fulfilled not just in words, but in actions. Just look at those wounds. Look at the depth of love that your Savior has for you. He doesn't just say, "Don't worry about it." He shows you his hands and his side to assure you that every sin, every abandonment, every shred of guilt, every failure to do what we should, and everything we've done that we shouldn't, it all got put on Jesus. It all got paid for by his blood, so that there's nothing left but innocence for you and me. That because Jesus lived the life we couldn't and died the death that we deserved, because he conquered both sin and death, gloriously rising and showing the world those wounds in his hands and side, they promise and assure us that there is peace. Peace between us and God. All that guilt that weighs upon your heart, all that doubt that you live with, Christ says, "Give it to me. Put it in my scarred hands. Let me wrap it up against my wounded side and assure you that you are my brother and sister in faith, in the family of God, and that peace is yours now and forever." You see, it's just because we're Christians, though, it doesn't mean that, as much as we'd like to experience that peace now, and we will experience it forever, it doesn't mean that in the world around us there is always going to be peace. We have that daily proof that we talked about a little bit earlier. There are going to be bad things that happen, but understand that there may be some peace in this world. But it's the world's peace, a peace that doesn't last, a peace that's fleeting. The peace that the angels proclaimed on that first Christmas Eve, the peace that Jesus fulfilled, is a peace that's going to last not just in this world, but it's going to last for eternity. It's a peace that rules in our hearts and in our minds. It's a peace that will surround us forever. So that even though there may be moments in this world where there is no peace, moments where we scratch our heads, moments of hostility and fear and doubt, look to the assuring words and actions of your Savior Jesus. Because there is peace and confidence even in the face of doubt. You know, when Christ was born in Bethlehem, those angels, they sang their song. The song said, "Peace on earth," and it was a promise made. Jesus appeared to his disciples to assure them that that promise was fulfilled. Peace between you and God, peace forever in heaven. And just look at how Longfellow concluded his psalm. "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." Peace. God has granted it, and it is yours through Jesus. Amen.